Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm excited to have you here. And as people heard 2 weeks ago when I had Kate Montana here in person, I'm always excited to have somebody here in person. And Rose is here local in the Seattle area. So it's fun to have her here with me.
It's fun to be here. This is a great studio.
It is. Don't we have a great view?
Yes.
Yeah, downtown Seattle. Beautiful view. Although, can we see it today? Yeah, I guess we can still see it. It's cloudy, but we can still see it. So, you know, I want to just dive in by talking about what is intuition. I think that, you know, people have sometimes different ideas of what that really means. And how do you define it?
Well, I define it pretty broadly that every culture has some concept of intuition. And some people think of it as that still small voice within. Some people feel it more physically and they call it, I just have a feeling in my gut. Some people think of it as their trusted source or the voice of God guiding them. And it doesn't really matter what you call it, but it's a natural thing that everybody has. And it's designed to guide us through our life.
Well, you know, when you said about that, you know, feeling it in your gut kind of thing, it's funny how we flash on things sometimes. And I can remember, gosh, it's probably been about 10 years ago, I was looking for a new car. And for some reason, I had decided that I wanted to have like a little SUV, not one of the big monster ones, but a smaller one. And so I had done all my research online. And I realized that when I chose which model I wanted, what it really came down to was just the one that felt best to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's an example of that, just kind of feeling it in your gut. This is the one just feels good to me.
Yeah. And that's what I call the whole body yes. Your whole body says yes. And you can tell when your body is kind of saying, I don't know, or I don't think so. And then your mind jumps in and starts to make things more complicated.
Tries to talk you into it?
Tries to talk you into or out of what you already really know.
Mm-hmm.
And that we do know. And a lot of times people will say, I knew better. Why didn't I do, you know, why did I do this thing instead of that other thing that I knew was going to be right?
So let's talk about that for a minute. Why do we do that?
It's usually fear, mm-hmm, or ego or pressure from people that are important to us. And so the whole process of making your intuition really reliable is there's a process to it. And, you know, the more you listen, it gets better by itself if you just continue to listen and act on the, you know, what your hunches tell you to do. You can get better and better at it than if you kind of quiet it, you know.
Right.
Gag it.
Tamp it down, yeah.
Yeah, tamp it down. Sometimes I have this image of it kind of being gagged and tied up in the back room, you know, like, no, I don't want to hear that. That's really inconvenient. So, but it, you know, it's, there's a lot of parts to it. But it really is intrinsic for different people, and it helps to know what form your intuition takes. And the example you already used is obviously more kinesthetic, a whole, mm-hmm, full body feeling experience of it. Some people see images, or they'll see a sign as they're walking down the street and the sign kind of lights up as if to indicate something. Some people hear like a message in their head. And a couple of people have told me that they actually hear a musical theme. And the theme is about, this is the message that they're supposed to pay attention to.
Oh, funny!
I know. It's really amazing. So it takes all different forms. But once you get to know the form that yours takes most often, it gets easier to tune into it. Mm-hmm. It's like you know that place on your radio dial where you can,
right,
dial into it. And you can have more than one way of knowing. Some people have all three, four kinds of intuitive messages.
I know for me, probably my biggest one is just claircognizance. It's just, I feel like I just know.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when I'm doing like a meditation where I'm asking for guidance on something, mm-hmm, it's not like I hear a voice or anything. It's just like suddenly I have an idea and I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It just feels right. It lines up. And usually, and I, you guys can't see her face, but I saw her face when she said that, and her face lit up. Her face lit up. There's a quality of energy and lightness and momentum that comes up when we're on track to do something that's just right for us.
And that's great to hear, because you and I were talking before we came in the studio about, whether Rose was nervous or not, because this isn't her normal thing to do like it is for me. And so I was sharing when I first started doing the show, and I was very nervous the very first time. And about midway through the show, all of a sudden I realized how energized I felt. Mm-hmm. And that to me was a sign that I was doing what I needed to be doing. But I'm connecting that to what you were just saying, too.
Right. Yeah. Right. So a lot of the time we will get that energized feeling when we're on the right track and following our intuition. Sometimes when we get the very first message, though,
it's like
our mind is really quick to jump in and give us a million reasons why we can't possibly do that. Oh, no, that's a bad idea. It's not practical. And that's where it really takes some developing to get in the habit of saying, wait a minute. This voice has to be louder than the other voices.
And being able to distinguish them, too, right?
Right.
So
right.
You know when it's the intuition versus the ego jumping in out of fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you had to pick one thing that interferes with intuition more than anything else, it really is ego / fear.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're very closely related.
Well, I think that when we come back from the break, that maybe a good thing to talk about would be how do we begin to really make that distinction, as well as how do we get more in touch with whatever our mode of knowing is.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I think that'll be a great place to go. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm Laura Longley, and you're listening to The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. You can find me on Facebook at The Laura Longley Show and at thelauralongleyshow.com. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. We're back on The Laura Longley Show, and my guest today is Rose Harrow, who is a business coach and mentor, but Rose has had lots of experience over 30 years with intuition and with brain rewiring. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about how to start to get more in touch with that intuitive piece. And Rose, do you have a couple of things that people might try, or what do you suggest if people want to get more in touch with their intuition?
Well, the first place to start is always just to pay attention and to listen and to get as neutral as possible, which isn't as easy as it sounds.
No, it's not at all easy.
But it really works. And if you can, I mean, that kind of comes down to a mindset issue. And I believe that we have everything we need. And that most of the time, if we get out of our own way, that things work out better than we could possibly orchestrate
yes.
them. You know, it is our responsibility to make plans and take action and do what we see to do. But at a certain point, you have to just pay attention to what's wanting to happen and what resources have been given to you and start there. So I really like to look at it from the point of view of the brain and how the brain is designed to work. We are designed to have everything we want. We are designed for intuition. So if you think for a minute about the different parts of the brain, and what's been famous for a long time has been the left and right sides of the brain, and there's so much more to it than that. But let's just start with the left and right sides of the brain. And for most people, the left side of the brain is their logic brain.
Right.
And that's where their language is, and their, you know, they figure things out, mathematics and all of that sort of orderly thinking. And the right side of the brain is more intuitive. Just by its nature, it's more creative, it's more free-flowing, it's more interested in art and movement and play, and neither of those sides of the brain, neither one is a spare.
We need both.
We're really designed to use both of them all the time for everything. And so, like, when you're doing mathematics or physics or something like that, even, you know, bookkeeping, anything that's absolutely a linear left brain activity, we're not intended to switch off our right brain in order to do that. We are designed to bring our whole brain to that activity, even if we're predominantly only using that one side at the moment. But at any moment's notice, you can also tap into the other brain and get creative without losing access to that.
So can I throw something in here?
Yeah, please do.
I just have all these things coming up in my mind that it reminds me of. Because I remember when I was in college as an undergraduate many, 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 many years ago, and I was majoring in computer science. And it was so long ago that we worked on mainframe computers with decks of punch cards.
Wow.
And I was over at the computer center late at night trying to get this program to work, and it just wouldn't. Now, that's a very left brain activity. Yeah. And eventually I went home and I went to bed and I had a dream about what was wrong.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. And so I went back the next morning and that was what was wrong. But it was like I wasn't accessing the right side of my brain. It was like I was only doing the left side.
And if you interview or read interviews or stories of highly successful people, all of them talk about this kind of flash of intuition or insight that they do gather all their data. They gather the factual information. They assess that. And then the final decision is kind of made by their intuition. And that's really the way they're designed to work together. And what interferes with those two sides of the brain working together is, again, stress, fear, ego.
Right. Having I need to say correct because I don't want to say right brain.
But anything that creates stress. So you've got the two sides, the two hemispheres of the brain. You've got the corpus callosum, which is this really built-in telephone network between the two sides of the brain so that they're on the line with each other all the time. That's how they're intended to be. But when there's stress, it's as if it interferes with that. Sometimes they use the example of a windstorm. We have windstorms in Seattle.
Yeah, we had one, good one Friday night.
And what happens with the windstorm is that the power goes out. You know, there's too much stress on the system and the lines go down. And you can pick up your telephone and you can yell into the phone, but your friend across town won't hear you. But when the lines are connected, you don't have to yell. And that's how our brain is designed to work. So everybody's had the experience of being under a lot of stress and suddenly you get to a point you can't think.
Right.
You can't function. You're sputtering and... Or maybe having a lot of emotion and feeling upset, but not getting any results.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens then is that you're overstressed. You need to calm down, relax, de-stress. There's specific techniques. We'll do one later on that are specific for calming down the whole system enough that connection between the two sides of the brain can be reestablished. But there's something else that happens in the brain that trumps even this.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a middle part of the brain, which is the emotional brain. We're not going to talk so much about that today. But then there's the survival brain. And the survival brain, when it feels like it is needed, it trumps everything else.
Yes.
It will hijack the rational brain completely because that's its job,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, if there's an emergency, that's really not the time to debate the merits of, you know, it's like, well, you know, this kind of ladder would be better than that kind of ladder in this kind of fire. You know, you just do it.
Right.
And, but sometimes it stays on beyond need, you know, and sometimes we feel like we're living our life in survival mode. And this can go on for some people. It goes on for weeks or months or years even. And so there need to be ways, and there are ways to disengage from that stuck place and regain access to the neocortex, to the rational brain, so that you have access again to problem solving. And there are certain techniques that if you use them enough, your brain remembers, even in an emergency, to remain in touch with that thinking, rational and intuitive brain, so that you have it all, even when you go, oh my gosh, this is really, this is not good. I've got to do something fast. You just do it. And you're able to think at the same time. And that's, you know, emergency technicians, medical technicians, and firefighters are trained to their brain, of course, just says this is really dangerous, this is really serious, and I've got to act fast. And all their training is still available.
They have to still remember,
all their instincts, all their intuition, still available. They don't have to, they just do. Because their training allows them to retain that. Even under stress, even in an emergency.
So going back just a step, and I think that you probably answered this with what you said about the, you know, our fight or flight part of our brain, the reptile brain is what I've heard it called. Mm-hmm. But you were saying when we get under stress, then our left and right brain disconnect. They're not communicating with each other. So is that in preparation for our reptile brain stepping in there, or why does that happen?
It's just an overload on the system. I think of it like the circuit breakers on your house. When there's too much load on a circuit, they just break the circuit and the lights all switch off. And so it's really not a useful thing, especially if it's an emergency.
Right.
And so it's about the fact that our modern life has way more stress than what we're really designed to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hit overload much more often than would be ideal.
Right.
And so we need ways of dealing with that. And in business, you think about going through an average business day, you know, just for entrepreneurs or anybody who's in business. But even, you know, a mother at home or a father at home with their children, you've got a million decisions to make every yes. single day. And some of them need to be made quickly, and some of them need to be made without what you would consider adequate information. You know, sometimes you just don't have the luxury of time to gather all the information mm-hmm. you would like. And you have to go with your gut. You have to go with your intuition.
So I know that you have done a lot of work over many, many years with helping this rewiring, quote unquote, rewiring the mm-hmm. brain. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kinds of techniques that where you're saying like EMTs or firefighters or whatever, that they learn these things so that they can still have access to their information.
I don't know if that, well, they probably use, I don't know exactly what their training consists of, but by virtue of the fact that they know how to respond and it's so ingrained in them, like
right.
we do this, then we do that. Highest priority is this, next priority is that, that the stress on them, if they see a house on fire, it's not going to stress them to the degree that it would an average person
right.
because they know how to take action. They know exactly what needs to be done. But in a more everyday kind of application, you know, with the everyday kinds of stresses, there are things the body actually does instinctively. Like, for example, you know, when you say, if you were an actor and you were going to say the lines, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What's the gesture that would go with that? There's practically this universal gesture of putting your hand on your forehead. Right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And you'll see this in movies, movies from our, you know, the US and from other countries as well. It's a universal gesture. And the reason is that there are acupressure points on the forehead that diffuse emotional stress.
Very interesting.
And it also brings creative problem solving energy to the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is the executive part of the brain. And so, I was fortunate to study with a brilliant genius 30 years ago who was on the track of brain science long before it was fashionable.
Right.
And he and other people decoded and created this system, and it uses integrative movement activities. They're very simple, simple to learn, but you need to learn them, and then you have
yes.
them. And it can also be done in much more sophisticated combinations. So, you know, in a facilitated session, some more.
So it's kind of like physical therapy for your brain.
yes, except it feels really different. Most people don't enjoy physical therapy.
True.
People really love this. And I don't like to call it brain. Everybody knows what you're talking about if you say brain rewiring.
Yeah.
But I don't like to call it that because the brain is perfect. The brain doesn't need for us to rewire it. It just needs a little untangling sometimes.
Okay.
A little de-stressing and a little untangling. And then it's in mint condition underneath all the stress.
So it's time for us to take another break. But before we do, I would love for you to share with people how they can find you and how they can find out more about what you do. And I think don't you also have a free download?
I do, actually. Okay, you can find me three different ways. You can, my telephone, 206-365-0278. Or you can email me at rose@roseharrow.com, and Harrow is H-A-R-R-O-W. Or you can go to my website, which is roseharrow.com, and you will see the free download there on the right-hand column. It's called How to Make Empowered Decisions with Grace and Ease.
And it's a
free audio.
Okay, great yeah. training. I'm Laura Longley, and you're listening to The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Well.
We're back on The Laura Longley Show. My guest today is Rose Harrow, who is a business coach and mentor. And Rose focuses a lot on helping you get in touch with your intuition and, quote unquote, rewiring your brain, if I can actually say those words. So as we went to the break, the last segment, we were talking a lot about the brain piece of it, but there's also a body piece that we talked about very early in the show related to intuition. And how does our body get involved with it, and how do our brain and body work together?
It's funny because I'm asked that question a lot, and what comes up for me first is always, how could they not work together? But it's a great question, because in our culture, we our body is kind of put as a second-rate citizen.
Yes.
You know, and the body has so much wisdom within it. Our body is constantly giving us messages. It's constantly giving us yeses and nos and go ahead and stop and rethink that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so by tuning into our body, we get a whole nother set, a whole nother language full of guidance and wisdom that will help us take better care of ourselves and make better decisions and just run our lives in a way that's more harmonious. So I like to work with the body as a metaphor. And you can get as simple or as sophisticated with this as you like, but even just in the simplest form, we've always had expressions in our language like so-and-so is a pain in the neck, you know, or the situation is a thorn in my side or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or when I got the news, I was so surprised I got weak in the knees, right?
Yeah.
This is the body expressing everything that's going on. There's some really exciting research in this area. Just it's exploding actually at this point in time. So I work a lot with the body as a metaphor, and by tuning into your body, you can, it's just another form of giving you that information mm-hmm. about your intuition.
Well, I'll give you another example of mine because they're just popping up all over the place. You know, I'd give you one from 35 years ago when I was in college. Now here's one from over 20 years ago when I was getting ready to get married. And I'm divorced. And if I'd listened to my body, I never would have gotten married. We went away on a vacation and got married away, just the two of us, deliberately. Because we'd both been married before, we didn't want to spend a bunch of money on a big wedding, and so we'd rather spend it on the honeymoon piece of it. 2 days before we were getting ready to leave, I got deathly ill. I mean, I had a fever of 103 degrees. Mm. And after a day of that, my fiancé at the time took me to the emergency room at the hospital. They couldn't find anything wrong with me. My white cell count wasn't elevated, so I didn't have an infection. But yes, they validated, yeah, you've got a fever, 103 degree
wow.
fever. And they put me on antibiotics, even though I didn't have any indication of an infection of any sort. And I knew fairly quickly, and really I will tell you that if I'm honest, I knew at the time that it really was my body saying to me, if you don't want to do this, here's the perfect excuse not to.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not sorry that I went ahead because I had a child, and I'm not sorry at all that I had him.
Mm-hmm.
But, my life would have been very, very different if I had really listened to that message.
And if you pay attention to your body, you can feel, sometimes you can feel it pulling back or leaning forward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. just that's a very simple way to start to tune into this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, our body's constantly telling us. Even, you know, sometimes when people are anxious, they're tapping their feet. You need to be a little careful interpreting it for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know if they've got their arms crossed in front of their body because they're cold.
Right.
Or because they're tired or for any other, you know, many reasons. But tune into your own body and just your body will really give you a lot of information that will be helpful to yourself.
Now, you said that you have an exercise that we can do that illustrate that for us.
Do we have about 5 minutes?
We
for
do.
Okay,
we have good. Just about 5 minutes.
Okay. So one of the things that one of the ways your body tells you how it's feeling about something you may be considering is how your muscles are feeling, that if there's stress or anxiety or tension, there could be tension. There can be like tight, your muscles can be really tight. It doesn't always mean you shouldn't do it, but it means to pay attention to something. Sometimes we get afraid of something that's really wonderful for us to do, but it's new.
Right.
So that's a whole nother, I mean, there's a lot of discernment here, and that's why, you know, it takes time and it takes some kind of structure actually is helpful in developing this to a high degree. But what we're going to do right now is a process for noticing a before and after change in your body, in your emotional state, and the clarity of your thinking just by doing a very simple sequence of postures.
So everyone listening, unless they're driving a car.
Don't do this if you're driving a car.
I can do this right now.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that you're sitting down and just cross your ankles and let your body pick which ankle's on top. It's not going to make a mistake. It's intelligent. And then take your right hand and put it on your left shoulder. And take your left hand and put it on your right shoulder. And then roll your wrists forward so that your thumbs are pointing straight ahead of you. And bring your hands together so that your fingers are intertwined and your hands are clasped. And if that doesn't feel like the right arrangement, you can put the other hand on top, whichever one is more comfortable on top. And so we're just going to sit like this quietly. Oh, wait, stop, back up. Back up. I want to do a before change, but so uncross everything
okay.
for just a second. I want you to do like a head to toe scan ahead of time and just kind of notice how your body feels sitting on your chair, head to toe, like which areas are tense or relaxed and how your breathing is. Notice how you're sitting on your chair. Just notice anything that's there. Don't try to change it. There's no right or wrong, but just notice it so that in case something does change later, you'll be aware of it. Okay. All right.
Now we'll cross your ankles.
Okay. And cross your wrists and clasp your hands in front of you with your thumbs straight ahead. And just take it easy for a while. You don't have to do anything special here. Just let your body settle down. Don't do anything fancy with your breathing. You can have your eyes open or closed. And at a certain point, you're going to feel a big sigh or somehow just feel like that's complete. Usually takes about 30 seconds or a minute. So at whatever point that is for you, when you feel done, uncross your arms and legs. And just now we're going to put our fingertips touching, just barely touching, like we're holding a big grapefruit between our hands. And just the tips of our fingers are able to go around that grapefruit, and the tips of our thumbs are touching. So my left thumb is touching my right thumb, and so on. And again, we're just going to sit like this for a moment until you feel a big sigh or you feel complete somehow. And at that point, you can let your hands relax. Okay, so you can't really do this wrong. You can do this anytime. It's a great de-stressor and unscrambles a lot of the energies in the brain-body system. And what I'd like you to do now is just go back to your body scan, head to toe, and just notice how your body feels now. Notice how your breathing is, how it feels sitting on your chair. And I wish there was a way for you to all tell me what you're feeling now.
They can email you.
email me. Let me know what your experience is. Okay.
Well, I know for me, you know, I mean, because we're busy here talking. And so to take that moment and do it, then obviously for me, everything slowed way down. And that was kind of what my experience was. And I know too, and you can correct me if I don't have this quite right, but the crisscrossing that we did helps reconnect our left and right brain. Is that not correct?
That's part of it. Yes. Yeah. It connects the different parts of the brain. Also crossing the ankles, crossing the wrists, all the energy meridians in the body begin and end in the fingers and toes. And so that's kind of a way you're sort of in a figure eight pattern that allows the, all the flows of energy to reestablish their normal flow. And sort of to be aware of each other so that none of them are, it's so much easier to explain these things. I was telling Laura, it's so much easier to explain these things in a 3-day class format.
but doing the exercise is so easy and it just takes few minutes.
And all of the brain work is that easy. It's just effortless. And there are ways of knowing what your brain is hungry for at any given time.
You just need to learn to tap into it.